What is up, guys? Welcome back to another edition of the Locked On Panthers podcast. Bill Rossetti back with you guys here starting another week. Hope you guys had a good weekend. Been a little bit since we talked. And good time to get back in because we've got some breaking news, as it were, to discuss a little bit from the Carolina Panthers as they have re-signed safety Eric Reed to a three-year, $22 million contract. Reed, obviously, of course, was set to be a free agent, but they were able to snatch him up before free agency start. And Eric Reed, of course, improved as the season went on. You know, played well for the fact that he was not in the NFL for the first couple weeks of the season. Started getting his feet wet under him in his first couple weeks with Carolina. Improved as the season went on, and certainly was a big help, in my opinion, to this Panthers defense. So really, if we were looking at free agents that the Panthers were hoping to re-sign, I think Eric Reed probably was going to be at the top of the list. He definitely said, you know, he mentions the fact that he likes the familiarity of the Charlotte area. He likes he just likes the Charlotte area. He talked, in fact, he just had a conference call. And he talked about his family. He says, it gives me and my family peace of mind. He said he likes Charlotte because it's low-key and reminds him of his hometown. So between the contract and the familiarity with Charlotte and how much he likes the city, obviously there was a lot of good connections here between Reed and the Panthers. You know, certainly the fact that the Panthers kind of gave him a shot after, you know, everything he's gone through, I'm sure played a little bit of a factor. So you have to be excited for Eric Reed now being back pretty long term. Again, three-year deal. Essentially, last year, you could kind of say it was like a trial run, and he definitely passed that trial, to say the least. So now the Panthers, and we knew safety was a pretty big need for the Panthers going into this offseason because they really didn't have anybody, at least under contract, set for the position other than, say, Rashawn Golden. Well, now you've got Eric Reed in tow, so I don't know if, you know, and it wouldn't surprise me if they still target safety perhaps in the draft. I'm sure there's a lot out there that maybe still would want to see them get Nasir Adderley in round one, but this kind of deal, I think, does give them a little bit of flexibility with free agency and with the draft, especially with that 16th overall pick. You know, it gives them a little flexibility to maybe go after a pass rusher if you want to, with Julius Peppers retiring, or, you know, interior defensive line or offensive line. You know, and then there's a lot of options. I just wrote an article for Panthers Wire looking at a couple draft prospects at offensive tackle that the Panthers could look like, or could look at, and really all of them are possibilities of the first round. So again, I think there's a couple ways now that they can go, now that at least one of your starting spots of safety is back in tow, and you would have to think at least right now Golden is probably going to be the other starting safety. You know, of course, he stepped in a little bit after, you know, as injuries and, you know, just stepping in the middle of games, getting some snaps. So you figure right now, Reed and Golden will probably be the starting safeties. And at least this gives Golden a chance to play alongside a veteran like Reed and continue to learn from him. So real good move that I think you definitely have to be excited about. So once again, the breaking news from the Carolina Panthers, slightly more than $22 million, Eric Reed staying with the Carolina Panthers. So another thing I want to talk about here, along with the Eric Reed news, is a little bit of news, I guess you could say, on Cam Newton, who actually opened up about his shoulder injury. In fact, he just began his own YouTube channel, and I actually just checked out his first video. And he really opened up about his experience with the shoulder injury. And I think we had a feeling, he basically confirmed in this video that that shoulder had been bothering him all season long. He says, you know, he was in a lot of pain. He couldn't throw the ball more than 30 yards. He felt that defenses were able to expose him because of the fact that he couldn't throw as far. And probably the biggest disappointment for him was that he couldn't make the throws that he knows he can normally make. So it was really a bit of an eye-opening experience and a really, really intriguing look inside his mind and how he felt during the 2018 season. It really kind of gave you a quick glimpse of what we went through over those 17 weeks, the highs of being 6-2 at the halfway point to the lows of losing seven straight and finishing with a losing record at 7-9. You know, you could say if you want that the shoulder really had a lot to do with it. And again, he just took it upon himself to, you know, he really feels a lot of it was on him. You could tell he's heartbroken over the way the 2018 season went. He even said in the video that he felt at one point they were Super Bowl contenders, and let's be honest, they were. Remember, I had been going around the first half of the season saying this team's arguably the third best team in the NFC behind the Saints and the Rams. And as it turned out, you know, the Saints stumbled a little bit as the regular season ended, and of course caught a couple lucky breaks to get to the NFC title game. You know, yes, there was the non-call that you could argue whether or not it cost them a trip to the Super Bowl, but, you know, lucky breaks here and there. And then same with the Rams. They had those lucky breaks, but they were also a team that kind of stumbled. So, you know, the Panthers, it really sounds like Cam Newton felt that this was a wasted opportunity to really come up with a big season. And it really seems like he feels that shoulder injury had a lot to do with it. But it was nice to really hear him open up about the shoulder injury. And we also got a little bit of a look at him going into surgery. And we caught the doctor coming into his room and saying that the shoulder was not as damaged as they had feared. And, you know, we had heard the reports on that when they first came out, that his shoulder was not as bad as once originally thought. So, you know, we know that he's gone through successful surgery. We know that he sounds like he's going to be ready to go. The Panthers are hoping he'll be back throwing by possibly OTAs, you know, hopefully by training camp. As I've said before, I'm not a doctor, but I would venture to guess that this is a good sign that he'll be ready to go for the 2019 regular season. So, you know, here's hoping. Obviously, we'll continue to monitor the situation as the offseason progresses. But again, the way he opened up and the way he feels, it sounds like he's ready for big things in 2019. And, you know, if you want to go check him out, he is on YouTube now. He's planning on doing a lot of stuff on his YouTube. He said the first episode he's looking to do is going to take you guys into his hometown of Atlanta, Georgia, during Super Bowl week, and look inside him opening his cigar shop and seeing a bunch of his friends. So if you guys want to go check him out, just find Cam Newton on YouTube, subscribe, and you'll be ready to go. But I just wanted to touch on that a little bit. We know he talked about it on Friday, so getting a chance now to talk about it. And like I said, I think the video was a very nice, it's about a 10-minute video, so it's not too long, but it's really good insight of his true feelings about his shoulder, you know, how his shoulder felt, how much his shoulder bothered him, and how the season itself bothered him. So again, go check him out on YouTube. Moving on, something else I want to talk about too from over the weekend was the debut of the new Alliance of American Football. They had their inaugural games this past weekend. 8 teams. They're going to play a 10-week schedule. So there's no bye weeks. They're just going to play 10 weeks straight. 2 games on Saturday, 2 games on Sunday each week. And they're all going to essentially be on TV, whether it's CBS Sports Network, NFL Network. I think even TNT has a game this week. But I tell you what, I caught a bit of some of the games this weekend, and I came away with a very positive reaction. I like the way that the game was very fast-paced. I like the fact that this is a league where a lot of players who are kind of on the cusp of making an NFL roster or just want that second chance to make an NFL roster, this is the league that they could do it in. You know, this is where they're going to get that NFL-type coaching. I mean, you look around the 8 teams and you look at the head coaches, and it's kind of a who's who of, you know, coaches that have had past success in the NFL and coaches that will give these guys the development that they need to maybe get back into the NFL and crack a 53-man roster. I mean, you've got Mike Martz, who oversaw the greatest show on turf with the Rams. You've got Dennis Erickson, who had a little bit of success in the NFL and certainly in the college ranks. You've got Steve Spurrier, who's arguably one of the greatest college coaches of all time. Mike Riley, Mike Singletary, and a few others. So there's a lot of good names here. And then, you know, Bill Polian is running the whole thing. Bill Polian, of course, former general manager of the Indianapolis Colts, was there as GM when the Colts won Super Bowl 41. And, of course, is now a Hall of Famer. He's now running this league. Hines Ward is involved in it. Troy Polamalu is involved in it. So there's a lot of big names throughout this league. You know, even a guy like Phil Savage, who, of course, was the former executive director of the Senior Bowl, is now the general manager of the Arizona Hotshots. And, a couple other, Daryl Johnston, who we've known, former fullback for the Cowboys in the Troy Aikman years, and of course has been a commentator for the NFL on Fox. He's now the general manager of the San Antonio Commanders. So there's a lot of big names here. And if you watched some of the games over the weekend, particularly the San Antonio Commanders, you may have noticed a former Panther putting in a pretty decent game on that first week. Zach Sanchez, who spent a couple seasons with the Panthers and a little bit of time on their practice squad, actually had a very good interception in the end zone for the Commanders. I think he was one of the starters for the Commanders. You know, we've seen Sanchez in action a little bit for the Panthers. We saw him do well in the preseason, but injuries kind of got in the way over the first couple of years. So, you know, things never really panned out like Sanchez has hoped. You know, former fifth-round pick, but again, injuries essentially in each of the 2 years. And then he was waived in 2018. Later in 2018, signed with the Commanders. But definitely played well for his first game with the Commanders. And again, if you saw his interception, I mean, he basically had to stretch his arms out as far as they could to come away with that interception. I believe that was off of, I'm trying to remember who the opposing quarterback was, because that was the one where Mike Bercovici, who was originally the starting quarterback for the San Diego Fleet, but he got injured. You know, remember he got that big hit early in the game. So I can't remember. I'm actually trying to look it up now. Who the quarterback actually was for the Commanders, or I'm sorry, not for the Commanders, but for the Fleet. But the interception was just really nice. You know, trying to look it up here. Oh, okay, it was Philip Nelson, number 9, out of East Carolina. He was the one that threw the pass, and then Sanchez came away with the interception. So a little bit of Panthers connection there in the AAF. You also saw the Orlando Apollos run Philly Special in their big win over the Atlanta Legends. Actually ended up scoring the most points of any team in that first weekend. The biggest dominating performance of the weekend as well, a 40-6 victory over the Atlanta Legends. So, nice start for them. It was a fun league. It was definitely a fun league. I also liked the transparency of the league in terms of when you saw teams challenging a play and went up to the replay official in the booth. We actually got to see inside the booth. We saw the play or the replay official watching the play and actually got to hear them talking to the official on the field. So you got to see what they thought the result was going to be before the head official on the field announced that decision. So I really liked that. No kick, you know, if you haven't seen these games yet, a quick rundown. It's basically NFL football. A lot of the rules are the same as the NFL, timing rules and such. You know, the only main difference with the timing rule is there's a 35-second clock rather than a 40-second play clock. There's essentially no kicking in the game. Really, the only time you're going to see a kicker in this league is if a team is attempting a field goal. Otherwise, the kicker just stands there because there's no kickoffs. Teams just automatically start at their own 25-yard line. There are punts, though. Teams will punt, and they'll get a chance to return the punt. But if there's a kickoff, they just place the ball at the 25-yard line, and there's no extra points. When a team scores a touchdown, they automatically go for two. So, you know, and I'm sure fans like that as well because it adds a little bit more excitement. Games have been shorter, too. A lot of these games have really run only about 2.5 hours because there's no TV timeouts. There's about 60% fewer commercials in general. And again, the shorter play clock gives a little bit more faster pace action. So games have been done in about 2.5 hours rather than 3+ hours that we see in the NFL. So overall, I think it was a very good opening weekend for the Alliance. And again, the fact that these players are getting the development that they need. I mean, you know, one of the quarterbacks for the Commanders was Logan Woodside, who was just drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals last season in the 7th round. You know, got himself into a little bit of trouble, though, in the offseason. That was one reason why he didn't stick with the Bengals, but at least now he gets those extra reps that he needs during the offseason to maybe get a chance to get back on a training camp roster and possibly stick as a backup quarterback. But overall, I think the prospects for this league are very good, and it's definitely a chance, even from like the NFL side, for maybe some rule changes that they're thinking about, maybe use the AAF as a laboratory, I guess we'll say, as a chance to experiment with some of these rule changes. And I think the rule change that they have now, I think you can say it's kind of an experiment, you know, with the no kickoffs, that some feel the NFL is slowly trending toward a move they're slowly trending toward eventually. You know, there's people out there that think the NFL is just going to do away with kickoffs altogether. So maybe the Alliance is a chance to see what games could look like and what fan reaction would be like with no kickoffs. You know, I personally am, you know, it doesn't really bother me that there's no kickoffs, but I do like the kickoff return. It is one of the most exciting plays in the NFL, especially when they take a long kickoff all the way for a touchdown. You know, those are always fun to watch, but if they do away with them, you know, so be it, I guess. But I think that's just an intriguing twist. I do like the onside conversion rule, though. The rule where teams have a chance to... Now, you have to be down by 17... You have to be down by at least 17 points in the game, or you have to be trailing within the last 5 minutes of the game. But if you are in that situation and you want to go for the onside conversion, because, again, there's no kickoff, so it's an onside conversion, you would have the ball placed at the 28-yard line facing 4th and 12. So it's almost like make it, take it, like old-school playground basketball. And if you make the 4th down conversion, you essentially keep the ball. If not, you give up the ball. It's almost like the start of a new drive, but you got one shot to keep the ball. And it's a really good rule, especially with the way onside kicks were last season, with how impossible they basically were. This night might not be a bad rule to consider. But again, overall, I think very positive, and we'll certainly continue to be watching these Alliance games. And then next year, it'll be more fun when the XFL comes, and then you have three leagues going. Though I think the XFL, I would imagine, is probably going to have their games run more towards the summer to really kind of spread things out. One more thing I'll talk about quick before we get out of here. Just kind of as a league-wide thing is all. We just got word earlier as well that Kyler Murray has committed to football. There was some worry about Kyler Murray. I almost said Kareem Hunt, who, by the way, has signed with the Cleveland Browns. So look out for that backfield now. But there was some concern with Kyler Murray, especially after the interview he gave with Dan Patrick last week about, you know, is he committed to one sport? You know, what's he going to do? Is he going to play football? Is he going to play baseball? Should teams be concerned? Well, now here we are a couple weeks before the combine, really just a couple of days before he was supposed to report to the Athletics for spring training. He has decided he is committed to playing in the NFL. So that's certainly relief from the NFL side. And, you know, the combine, I think, is going to be big for him. If he measures out pretty well and looks good on the field, I think there's a very good chance that Kyler Murray ends up a number one, or a round one pick, I should say, in the NFL draft. In fact, looking up his direct quote now, he said, so here was this quote from Kyler Murray. "Moving forward, I am firmly and fully committing my life and time to becoming an NFL quarterback. Football has been my love and passion my entire life. I was raised to play quarterback, and I very much look forward to dedicating 100% of myself to being the best quarterback possible and winning NFL championships. I have started an extensive training program to further prepare myself for upcoming NFL workouts and interviews. I eagerly await the opportunity to continue to prove to NFL decision makers that I am the franchise quarterback in this draft." So that was Kyler Murray committing to the NFL, and hopefully his interviews go a lot better than what he did last week against with Dan Patrick, especially with when NFL teams get a hold of him at the combine and at his pro day. But there you go, Kyler Murray set for the NFL, and will be. It'll be interesting to watch him go through this draft process. So with that, we'll wrap things up here. And again, to tie back to the beginning, the breaking news that we started the show with. Eric Reed back with the Panthers. Very excited about that. 3 years, $22 million to continue to lead this Panthers secondary. That'll do it for this edition of the Locked On Panthers podcast. We'll be back next time to talk more Panthers, maybe get back into those positional breakdowns. And we'll have free agency soon to talk about, and the draft, a lot coming up as this offseason progresses. But for now, thanks for tuning in. Really appreciate it. Remember to follow me on Twitter at @Bill_Ricetti, R-I-C-C-E-T-T-E. Follow the podcast on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. And if you have a smart speaker, of course, you can tell your smart speaker to play whatever podcast you want. And of course, we are also pushing where you could listen in the car. If you're in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On, whatever podcast you want to listen to. So again, smart speaker, if you have it in your house or in your car, just tell it to play whichever podcast you want, especially all the podcasts here on the Locked On Network. Take care of yourself. Have a good one, and we'll see you next time right here on LOP. Until then, take care, my friends.